Welcome to the October 30th dual platform service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by Reverend Pam Phillips and ministerial intern Anna Tulu. On this eve of Halloween, we'll explore how those who came before us walked the path of courage. We will also celebrate our annual tradition, It's Scary to Be Hungry. Our children will be wearing their costumes while they are collecting canned goods for the Blacksburg Interfaith Food Pantry before they go to their classes.
Good morning and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley, where we share a mission to inspire, create, and transform. I am Reverend Pam Phillips, your settled minister, and I am delighted to be leading worship this morning with our ministerial intern, Anna Tulu. You want to clap for that too? We are currently in the green zone, which means that masking is optional, except when we are singing. If you can put a mask on while we're singing, that would be great. Also, please take a moment to put your phones in worship mode. If you put them on airplane mode, then it saves the bandwidth. For those of us who are joining us on Zoom, if you are with us for the first time, we are glad you have found us. And you may think it a little curious that some of us are wearing costumes. You're welcome to wear costumes anytime, but today is a special day. If you'd like us to keep in touch with you, you can get a visitor's card from one of the greeters, or there is a virtual visitor's card in the chat. That way we can get your email and keep in touch with you. If you have a joy or a sorrow that you would like shared aloud today, we also have paper cards in the back for those, and also a link in the chat for those of you on Zoom, and we'll share those later. And we'll pick up the Joys and Sorrows cards in the sanctuary right before the offering. There are many opportunities to meet here or on Zoom throughout the week. Check the website and the calendar for all kinds of information about when, where, and how to get there. I do want to lift up two special activities this week. One is our Samhain ritual, which will be on Tuesday evening at 6:30 up at the upper fire pit. You'll find it on the website. Everyone is welcome for that. Also, I'm sorry, it's at 6 o'clock. At 6:30 on Friday is our social justice film, 2040. It's a hopeful movie about climate change. And finally, next Saturday at 10 o'clock in Elarth Hall, we're going to have a newcomers orientation. And if you are new or relatively new and want to know more about this congregation and about Unitarian Universalism, please let me or Pauletta Copenhaver know. You can join us on Zoom as well as in person. I want to thank all the volunteers who created this beautiful altar and brought flowers, and for all the activities that we have going on throughout the week. And I want to invite Rachel Crane up, our Director of Lifespan Faith Development.
Good morning, everybody. I bet you can't guess what we're talking about in RE today. The preschoolers are going to be having a Halloween celebration. I know that's really surprising. Celebrate. Our kindergarten and first grade are going to be reading Granddad's Prayers of the Earth and possibly taking a nature walk, so you might want to bring a jacket if you're going to be cold. Our second and third grade is having a spooky story, Mater and the Ghost Light, and they'll be having some spookiness going on. Our fourth and fifth graders are going to be finishing up their fight against the hunger horcrux. They will be sorting and preparing for our Scary to Be Hungry food drive this afternoon at the Kroger. Speaking of which, even if you have not signed up for a slot, we could use your help at the Kroger between 12 and 4. Please, kids dressed in costumes like you are today would be wonderful. Just come on over to Kroger. And help out for a little bit. We could also use older kids, particularly at 4 o'clock at the food pantry, to help stock the shelves. Let's see. Middle school is actually not talking about Halloween today. They are going to be learning about the ivory trade, watching a Simpson episode called Bart Gets an Elephant, in which Bart receives an elephant as a prize for calling into a radio station. But apparently the animal proves to be a little too costly to care for. Surprise, surprise. YRUU is having a special meeting tonight from 6 to 9, so it's a long meeting. We're having a Halloween party. And I was going to announce Come See 2040 on Friday, but Pam beat me to it. And very importantly, is everybody listening? Today is your last chance to sign up for the Buddy Project. If you have not signed up for the Buddy Project yet, you are going to have to wait till 2023 to make a buddy. So if you want to make a buddy in 2022, sign up. Sign up your kids, sign up your grown-ups. So, yeah, the link is in your newsletter and on the website somewhere, hopefully. And I'll probably send out one more blast today about it. All right, thank you.
And now it is time to greet one another. If you are at home, if you would put on your camera, we are putting the Zoom screen up on our screen so that we can see you, and wave. We are so glad that you have joined us from afar. Now, let's see this stellar crowd in the sanctuary. Thank you. There's Mary Louise, who is playing for us today. And I see some witches. I see lots of smiles. I'm not sure, are you a raccoon? Oh, there's a pirate walking in. Yes, we have a lovely group. Oh, I think I see a skeleton back there. We have some scary folks. And I'm not sure if I can show the table down here. You can see our altar here. If you haven't had a chance to put your photographs or mementos up, please feel free to bring them up while we sing our opening hymn. And we have greeted.
And please join in saying the chalice lighting words. We light this chalice for the warm welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. This morning's worship theme is the courage of our ancestors, an appropriate topic for a time when many cultures are honoring those who lived and died, including Samhain, Dia de los Muertos, and All Saints' Day. We honor those who came before us by remembering, by telling stories, and restorying them in our lives. And in so doing, they live in us. Our opening words this morning come from the 2019 U.S. Poet Laureate, a member of the Muscogee Creek Nation, Joy Harjo. Memory Sack. That first cry opens the earth door. We join the ancestor road. With our pack of memories slung slack on our backs, we venture into the circle of destruction, which is the circle of creation, and make more.
Today, it's scary to be hungry. This congregation has a practice of fighting the hunger horcrux every year by collecting offerings for the Interfaith Food Pantry. But before we start our scary to be hungry trick-or-treating, I'd invite the young children, the folks who are going to be collecting, to come up and look at this altar. Because after you go downstairs and do your wonderful things, we're going to be talking about ancestors. So come on forward and take a look at that altar. What do you see there? What do you see?
There are photographs. I see pomegranates. I see flowers. I see candles. These are mementos of people who are beloved by folks in this congregation. These are our ancestors. That's part of what Halloween is about, is remembering those who've gone before. And now, I think it's time to do the more fun stuff. If you don't have a bag, do you want to hand out some bags? Anna will give you a bag, and your job now is to go among the congregation and collect all the canned goods that they have brought for those people who are hungry. And Mary Louise will play some spooky music as you do that.
So tomorrow is one of my favorite days of the year. And not just because of the costumes and candy, although I'm a big fan. Tomorrow is the Celtic pagan festival of Samhain, one of the eight festivals in the Wheel of the Year, and to me and many pagans, it's the most sacred. Our Halloween, as we know it today, actually has its roots in Samhain. By way of interpretation and appropriation by the Catholic Church, the original Celtic tradition was that this was a day when the veil separating the worlds of the living and the dead was at its thinnest, and spirits of the dead could walk among the living, and vice versa. For some, this was a cause of fear, and for others, a source of awe, of connection with the sacred. Druids and others would call upon the spirits and the gods for oracles of wisdom and warning. Some would dress in costumes on this night, though it's debated whether this was in imitation of the spirits or to confuse and hide from them. The Catholic Church adopted and altered the pagan festival with its own Hallowmass, or All Hallows, today known as All Saints' Day, which celebrated Christian martyrs, people who had died for their beliefs, and saints. People would likewise dress up in costumes as angels and devils and saints. It's not a coincidence, either, that some of the Celtic pagan images of spirits and gods became entangled with Christian renderings of demons. The evening before was All Hallows' Eve, what we now know as Halloween. Today, pagan practices around Samhain involve invoking and honoring the mighty dead, our beloved ancestors, all those who shaped us, and welcoming them back into our lives for a night. A few weeks ago, I shared with you that the pagan understanding of the dark is not necessarily the same as the way it's often been rendered in dominant Western culture. Darkness is a source of rest, of mystery, of dreaming. And it is, yes, also representative of death, as it is dark in the earth, it is dark in the tomb, but also the womb. These two are inextricably bound together, birth and death. For death, like birth, is not an end, but merely another transformation. And so at Samhain, we welcome the dark half of the year, and we honor the dead. There are many ways in which Samhain is practiced today, but my favorite is the Silent Supper, during which a feast is prepared and laid on the table. Spaces are set at the table for both the living and the dead. And photos and relics of the deceased are placed on the table or on an altar. Electric lights and appliances are turned off, and candles are lit. A door is opened, inviting the ancestors in. All are silent, as we serve first the plates of our beloved dead and then our own. We eat together and we remember. We eat and we listen for what our ancestors have to tell us. We make the space and we listen. After the meal, the silence is broken, and the mighty dead are thanked for their presence in our lives. We share stories and songs late into the night. We laugh a lot, and we cry. In describing Samhain, for me, it is deeply sacred and simple and wholesome. It is good to honor those who came before, those who shaped us and changed us and made our very existence possible. We become more holy ourselves when we honor the fullness of our histories, that we are descendants and we too are ancestors becoming. Our ancestors gave birth to us literally and figuratively. They are birthing us even now, and we too are shaping generations to come. This shaping doesn't end at death. We carry the mighty dead within us as we too are and will be carried. The circle is open but unbroken. Speaking from my tradition, I wish you a blessed Samhain. Blessed be.
I'm going to invite Lucas to do something different. Sorry. Could you go forward two slides to that one right there? We wanted to go backwards and forwards. Each week we do take up an offering. It's a practice of our congregation to share half of the offering with a local charity or UU-affiliated organization. And this week's recipient is to support our children's work against the Horcrux of Hunger. It's the Blacksburg Interfaith Food Pantry. In a moment, we're going to invoke the ancestors, but we wanted to get this business out of the way so that we didn't have a lot of words in between. So after calling in our ancestors, the greeters will come forward and collect your joys and sorrows cards and then collect the offering. And those attending online are invited to give using the link in the chat, if we can show them that, and through the different ways listed on the screen. And you can give after the service as well. And as we collect our offering, Mary Louise will be playing a piece by Respighi, I think that's how you say it, during which time you all are invited to light candles of hope and remembrance up here. And those of you at home can write in the chat if you'd like a candle lit, and we'll read those aloud later. And during that time, we'll be displaying a slideshow of your ancestors, the folks that you wanted to bring into this space and honor. Are we good? I think that's all the businessy things. So let us go back a moment. The ritual, and let me say this too. The ritual welcoming the ancestors was written by Christina Hsu and Tara Little, and it was written for an installation, a time when a minister was being installed to a congregation. It's kind of like it's a ceremony that cements the shared ministry. So I've adapted their words. And I'm grateful for them. So I invite you into a space of spiritual welcoming. The ritual of welcoming and honoring ancestors is an ancient spiritual practice found in many cultures and traditions. And in honor of Samhain, let us now pay tribute and express gratitude to our ancestors. From our histories, our ancestors call to us, asking, "Where do you come from?" We are grateful for their gifts, their lessons, and their challenge, calling us into accountability and responsibility to fulfill their hopes and aspirations. We call on and invoke our parents, grandparents, aunties and uncles, our siblings from across time and place, to be here with us now. We call on the early Unitarians and Universalists, lay people and ordained ministers who brought our faith to this part of Virginia. We call on our ancestors of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley, who built, grew, and dreamed this congregation and community into being. We call on those who represent peoples of the New River Valley, those who strove to build beloved community, representing diverse cultures and traditions, including the indigenous peoples of different tribes. We call upon our activist ancestors, those who struggled for justice, freedom, and liberation of all people, who challenge us to honor the fullness of each and every human being. We especially lift up those who battled the racism and oppression right here in Montgomery County, which is still alive today. They ask us to join the ongoing struggle to make this country whole. We call upon and honor the beauty of the earth, this particular part of creation that this congregation ministers in, the New River Valley, our interconnectedness to nature and to the history of the land itself. Now, we ask you to call to mind your own particular ancestors, family roots, spiritual mentors and guides. Each one of us brings into the room our own network of people and places. Call them to your mind now. We have welcomed this great cloud of witnesses to join us for this service. Can you feel them? May our ancestors guide us on our way. May they bless this space and time and the work we do. Now, please, everyone, join us in saying, "Ancestors, be with us. Ancestors, be with us." I'll invite the greeters to come forward and accept your joys and sorrows cards. And as we take the offering, Mary Louise will play. We'll light candles of hope and remembrance, and we'll see our ancestors. And in case you want to light a candle and see the ancestors, we'll play it again during the postlude so you won't miss it.
Join me as we accept these offerings. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end. Please join me in entering into the spirit of meditation and prayer. Our meditation reading is entitled "Remember" by Joy Harjo. Remember the sky that you were born under. Know each of the stars' stories. Remember the moon, who she is. Remember the sun's birth at dawn, That is the strongest point of time. Remember sundown and giving away tonight. Remember your birth, how your mother struggled to give you form and breath. You are evidence of her life and her mother's and hers. Remember your father. He is your life also. Remember the earth whose skin you are, red earth, black earth, yellow earth, white earth, brown earth, we are earth. Remember the plants, trees, animal life who all have their tribes, their families, their histories too. Talk to them, listen to them. They are alive poems. Remember the wind, remember her voice. She knows the origin of this universe. Remember, you are all people and all people are you. Remember, you are this universe and this universe is you. Remember, all is in motion, is growing, is you. Remember, language comes from this. Remember the dance language is that life is. Remember.
Our meditation hymn this morning is sung by Natalie and Jared Gibbs. I invite you to sing along with them. Breaths.
Listen more often to things than to beings. Listen more often to things than to beings. 'Tis the ancestor's breath when the fire's voice is heard. 'Tis the ancestor's breath in the voice of the waters. Who have died have never, never left. The dead are not under the earth. They are in the rustling trees. They are in the groaning woods. They are in the crying grass. They are in the moaning rocks. The dead are not under the earth. So listen more often to things than to beings. Listen more often to things than to beings. 'Tis the ancestor's breath when the fire's voice is heard. 'Tis the ancestor's breath in the voice of the waters. Who have died have never, never left. The dead have a pact with the living. They are in the woman's breast. They are in the wailing child. They are with us in our homes. They are with us in this crowd. The dead have a pact with the So listen more often to things than to beings. Listen more often to things than to beings. when the fire's voice is heard. 'Tis the ancestor's breath in the voice of the waters.
I love that song. It was adapted from the poem by Senegalese poet Birago Diop. And the composer, Dr. Issa Bartonwell of Sweet Honey in the Rock, explains, "Hearing this poem for the first time at a funeral transformed my grief and affirmed my worldview, which includes and reveres my ancestors. When I heard the poem a second time years later, it began to sing itself to me." Barnwell continues, "As often as we call the names of those who have gone on, we enliven them. But we must then learn how to experience them anew. This poem provides entree into the new experience." I love the line, "The poem began to sing itself to her." That experience resonates for me because last year we played that song on this Sunday. And that song kept singing itself to me after our service as I made my way to California to celebrate the life of my dear cousin Lucinda, who had died unexpectedly earlier in the fall. It was so comforting to hear and sing those words over and over again. "Those who have died have never, never left. The dead are not under the earth." I was grateful it was COVID time because I had my mask on, and I don't know that anyone on the plane could hear me singing it. But those words were a balm to my aching heart, helping me to grieve and to change my understanding of my vibrant and brilliant cousin who was 2 weeks younger than me. From being in this life to becoming a memory and, in a way, an ancestor. Last year, my emotions were raw, and it's still hard to believe that she's not here. But I am comforted by seeing all the ways in which she still lives, especially in the lives of all those she touched. I see her in her children's faces. I see her in her husband's eyes. But I also feel her in the places where she lived, like our family's shared cabin in the Columbia River Gorge. I have a photograph of us when we were toddlers, earnestly coloring with our Crayola crayons, sitting at this high kitchen table. She is in that kitchen, and she is under those trees. And every time a member of this congregation dies, I am struck and saddened by the thought that they will never be in this place again. We'll never see their faces or hear their voices or touch their hands. But then I realize that they are always here and forever. The memory of them sitting in a particular seat in the congregation on a Sunday morning, or seeing them up here with the choir. I can hear some of their voices. Maybe laughing over a cup of coffee during the social hour, bringing their famous two-bite brownies to the potluck, teaching our children in RE classes, making an important point in a meeting, or extending a greeting to a newcomer. They have never, never left. They are still here. They're in this room now, reminding us that we are part of the history of this congregation that started well before us and will continue long after us. Like the loom in Elarth Hall that holds the weavings of the past year, we are all being woven into the fabric of this community. And the more people we lose to death, the more we appreciate how important it is to tend to our relationships with them and to remember. When we welcomed all the ancestors earlier in the service, did you feel them with us? Sometimes it just takes hearing a song or smelling something special baking in the oven or looking at a photograph. And they are with us. Some of you who sent in photographs said a few words about those photographs and the people in them, their names, how they're related to you, where they were or what they were doing, one of their qualities, what they meant to you. Some people didn't write a word, they just sent photographs. And yet those pictures carried so much meaning, if for no other reason than that they were important enough to send in. In some of them, I could see a physical resemblance. I could see the same smile. Did you see some of those? I could see in their eyes. I also liked that some seemed to represent an era, a bygone day, that the elegance of the woman in the chair or the wedding photographs. A picture really is worth a thousand words. Most of our photographs were of our near ancestors, people we knew, if only in our childhood, but a few were of people who lived much longer ago, whom we only know through family stories and family trees. I know some of you have worked on genealogies, looking back through records on websites to trace your family back as far as you can. And some of us have sent in saliva to one of those companies like 23andMe to have our DNA tell the story of our ancestry. I remember Isabel Burney was so proud that she was part Neanderthal. I guess, well, not all of us are. I know a few people who have discovered or been discovered by relatives they didn't know they had. We long to know about our ancestry, to help us answer the questions, where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Have you seen the television programs where famous people learn what's been tracked down about their roots through DNA and other research? The American version is called Finding Your Roots and is hosted by Henry Louis Gates. On the website it says, Professor Gates has explored the ancestry of dozens of influential people from diverse backgrounds, taking millions of viewers deep into the past to reveal the connections that bind us all. The connections that bind us all. That's theological. As we learn about our distant ancestors, we are reminded that we are connected back in time, that we are part of something greater than ourselves. And we also come to appreciate how much we owe those who came before. On the British version of the celebrity ancestry show, Who Do You Think You Are?, the singer Annie Lennox, remember her from the Eurythmics? She learned that her great-great-grandmother, Isabella McCarty, a poultry maid, was called before the elders of the Church of Scotland in 1852 after giving birth to an illegitimate child. And instead of experiencing shame at her ancestors' scandal, she recognized the difficulties her ancestor had endured and overcome, saying, I am deeply proud of my forebears and the fact they lived and survived in conditions that could only be described as barely tolerable in this day and age. She probably said it in a Scottish accent, though. The more we know about the circumstances and experiences of our ancestors, what it took for them to survive and make way for our existence, the greater the responsibility we feel to live our best lives. I often think with admiration of the life my grandmother lived, making choices that were difficult and against cultural norms of the time. And I saw her as a role model on how to live life as a single woman. And so much of my journey toward ministry was informed by the sharing of her own religious journey with me. And now that she is an ancestor, I feel gratitude for those gifts. But I also want to live a life that she would be proud of. Is there an ancestor in your life that does the same for you? As we take this time to consider and celebrate our ancestors, let us remember that we too will become ancestors to those who follow us. Some of these children, even though they're not ours, they're ours. Let us live lives that inspire their gratitude and their desire to make us proud. Where do we come from? What are we? These are the words of my friend, Reverend Leah Derlin Jones. For those who came before us, we offer gratitude and thanks. May their memories be a blessing. May we feel surrounded by their love. As we go forth from this time and place, let us be inspired by their courage, their wisdom, and their dreams. Let us honor them by doing the work of living boldly, loving mightily, and creating heaven on earth. Amen, and blessed be.